Well, thank you, Kira, also for sharing some of your hobbies that are turning into businesses, turning into a business. As many of you know, in recent years, I've taken up a new hobby, one that you could say has me hooked. If there's anyone to thank or sometimes blame for this, it's Phil. It certainly helped, you know, that the first time I went fishing, I actually caught something. Because many times since, and Phil can attest to this, I had many days when I came empty-handed, and he would give me a fish or two so I wouldn't have to go home empty-handed. Just so you know, I never have pictures of those days when I didn't get anything. But I stuck with it, mainly because I had someone who took me under his wing as his apprentice. Now, there was and still is so much more to learn, yet one very important lesson that I learned along the way was to make sure that when I kept tossing my line into the river, it wasn't too shallow. I certainly was able to avoid getting my line snagged in the rocks by keeping it shallow, which was one of my goals, but it also meant I was missing where the fish were, in the deepest parts of the river. And going deeper, learning to go deeper was more challenging and frustrating, but also far more rewarding. It's a lesson that also applies to the spiritual life. Experiencing a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ can never really happen if we just dabble occasionally, you know, with Bible reading, prayer, worship, and service. A shallow, superficial faith will never take us to where the real action and excitement are. There's a story in the Gospel of Luke that illustrates this for us so well that we're going to look at briefly this morning. It's a scene from early on in Jesus' earthly ministry, and it's the story of what happened to a religious dabbler, you know, that caused him to change and to take a deep dive into faith with Christ and service to him. I invite you to turn to Luke chapter 5, the Gospel of Luke chapter 5, and be reading the first 11 verses. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is also the Sea of Galilee, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and they filled both boats so full that they both began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled up their boats onto the shore, left everything, and followed him. Well, according to Luke, this is not the first time Simon had met Jesus. In fact, just in the preceding chapter, immediately preceding this meeting at the lake, Jesus had been teaching in a local synagogue and was invited over to Simon's home, probably for a meal. And while he was there, Jesus healed his mother-in-law, who it says was suffering from a high fever. Indeed, her healing was so quick and complete that she got up and began to wait on them. probably a real servant, probably lamenting that she couldn't, you know, be a proper hostess. Well, as you can imagine, a healing like that spread like a BC wildfire, and before the day was done, people were bringing their loved ones to Jesus, all with various kinds of sickness, and laying his hands on each one, it says, Jesus healed them. The next morning, the lineups continued, and one group even tried to keep him from leaving them. You know, we come on a corner on you, Jesus, we want to keep you for ourselves. So clearly what Jesus did that day must have left a lasting impression on many. But as far as we know, it was only what Jesus did the next day at Simon's workplace that changed his life and his vocation forever. Many of our most life-changing experiences tend to come unexpected and uninvited. As far as Simon was concerned, it was just a regular day or night of work. They were finishing up the shift like they always did, washing their nets so that they'd be ready for the next day. And while Simon's workday was just finishing, Jesus' workday was just beginning, with a large crowd gathering to hear him teach them about God. The crowd got bigger and bigger to the point where Jesus realized he needed to improvise. And so he borrowed Simon's boat to get out from a bit from the shore and to take advantage of the natural acoustics. We were just visiting someone out on the water last week, and you could hear lots of things all across the lake. So be careful what you're saying. People can probably hear. But it was a natural acoustics. And Simon and his co-workers ended up having the best seat in the house in the boat. Or maybe the worst seat if you had fished all night and you were tempted to nod off. But they waited there until Jesus had finished. I mean, they had had a long night with absolutely nothing to show for their efforts and sour hours of sitting in the boat. And Simon was undoubtedly surprised when Jesus ended his teaching by telling them not to pull into shore, but push out into deeper water and let your nets down for a catch. Out? Did he say out? Master, Simon said, we've been fishing hard all night and haven't caught even a minnow. But if you say so, I'll let out the nets. I think Jesus seems to have made the sort of impression on people, even hardworking, no-nonsense fishermen, that when he told people to do something, they tended to give him the benefit of the doubt. I was thinking about a recent fishing trip with Faye. Faye, by the way, she puts all of the offering envelopes and connection cards each week in the pew in front of you. Well, I was fishing with Faye, and, you know, our time had come up, and we were going a little overtime and nothing. And Faye said, just try right here, right at the dock. And I thought, we haven't caught anything in the best places, Faye, but because you say so, I will do it. And we caught something. We each caught one. They weren't so big to write home about, but it was a lot of excitement, little sunfish. Well, Simon and his fellow fishermen didn't just catch a few little sunfish, but a huge haul of fish that staggered even their imagination and experience and their resources. Put yourselves in Peter's shoes for a moment. You've spent your life working hard at the same job. There are many jobs that you don't really have a clue about, but fishing, that is your area of expertise. And then this fisherman, I mean this carpenter who really, you think, knows nothing about fishing, says, no, just do it, trust me. Truth be told, Peter probably hadn't even thrown his net very far out, so he wouldn't have to wash it again and waste his efforts, because he knew that taking advice from a novice fisherman was worthless. Every experienced fisherman knew that only a rookie would try fishing with a net during the day. These are nets that the fish can see and avoid like the plague. But I think Simon had seen Jesus do and say amazing things. Maybe you've seen Jesus do something for somebody else. You're not a follower of Jesus yet, but it's kind of got you intrigued enough that you want to find out just a little bit more. Well, something prompted Peter to follow those instructions, and suddenly, inexplicably, everything clicked into place. It succeeded on a scale that he had never even imagined. Maybe you decided, I'm going to pray about this, Jesus. I've never really prayed to you before. And suddenly he answers your prayer bigger and better than you ever imagined possible. How is that even possible? What depths must there be to Jesus to pull off a miracle like this? I think all of the labels that Simon had for Jesus, even the biggest and best labels, were suddenly bursting like his nets. At that moment, Simon knew beyond the shadow of a doubt that he was in the presence of one greater than all of those labels combined. And Simon suddenly felt so small in the presence of true greatness that he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." But Jesus didn't reject him. Jesus had challenged him to push out into deeper water with his boat, and thankfully Simon had done so despite his doubts. And now Jesus was calming his fears and inviting Simon to give up this catch of a lifetime it was to come to something better, fishing for people with him and catching others, just like Jesus had just caught him, hook, line, and sinker. I think Simon knew he was a fool to have underestimated Jesus the first time, and he wasn't about to do so again. So he, and it says also his friends, pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything, and followed him. We're all in. What an act of trust and deep faith. It's worth noting that Simon's call to faith was also his commissioning to service. Commentator Timothy Gedert says, you know what? It's always that way. When we truly encounter Jesus, it's never only about experiencing a miracle or receiving forgiveness for our sins. The gift of salvation is always accompanied by a call, an invitation to enter the service of Christ, to become his apprentice, and to partner with him in the mission of God. Now Luke, he has zoomed in this story on the one person, Peter, Simon Peter in this story. And I think he does so because his response to Jesus is the right one. Simon's obedience to Jesus' command to go deeper, his open admission of his own sinfulness, and his decision, along with that of James and John, to leave everything and follow Jesus, it stands in stark contrast to the earlier, to the crowd who was also amazed, same word, at Jesus. But they were trying to master Jesus for their own ends rather than invite him to be the master of their lives and follow his mission. The baptism that we have seen today, that we have witnessed, is a wonderful demonstration and illustration of a life dedicated to going deeper with Jesus. And just as Jesus called Peter and Sam in life and ministry, he is calling you and me as well. I want to leave you with a question. What will it mean for you to go deeper? Deeper with Jesus. Is it a deeper commitment to actually go public with your faith? Is it a deeper obedience, an area of life where you said, no, I want that area of my life yet under my control? And maybe saying, no, give that over to Is it service? Maybe you've been asked to do something and your immediate response is, no way, I can't do that. And maybe he's saying, I know you can't, but I want you to, and we'll find out how to do it together. What do you need to let go of so that you can follow and obey him fully? I invite the worship team up, and as they're coming, let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, Simon Peter was so right to call you Master, Lord, and to recognize that you are a Master and Lord like none he had ever met, one with God-like abilities, but also one with God-like character, who knew him on the inside out, who knew every wrong he had ever done, who knew what thoughts that he had had about Jesus. And yet, you loved him. And you not only forgave, Lord, you called him into the best possible mission that one can be involved in, into your very service. Lord, you are calling each of us in some area of our life today to go deeper. And we pray that we would not be just like the crowd, but that we would be like Peter and his friends, who at the invitation realized we would be crazy not to take you up on it. Amen. Amen. This morning, earlier this week, I stumbled upon something. I was looking for a baptism certificate, and I thought I just use the template that I always use. But the one that I pulled up was Doug and Heather Ashley. July 2017, they were baptized. And many decisions along the way to get to the point, and an apprenticing under Ariel as well. And I thought it would be a good closing verse. The verse we gave you that day. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And we pray that for you as well today, Sam. And we want to welcome you into membership, if you would like to welcome him. And I encourage you to welcome him in person. Tell him your name, and may that be the beginning of many more conversations. Just wanted to note, Kira graduating. James Heinrichs is also graduating, not able to be here to share the same day, so we're hoping that he will share on a future Sunday as well. And if you would like prayer, we have Rob and Catherine from a part of our prayer team will be here available at the front, and we encourage you to take advantage of that. Maybe God has touched something in your heart this morning and you want to pray. Maybe you have something to thank God for. You know, it's great to pray about that as well. And then about 10 minutes from now, we will have a short congregational meeting, so take time, get a coffee, visit with someone around you, and then if you can gather back here afterwards. Not only members, but anyone can come to the congregational meeting as well if you'd like. Thank you.